much for joining Wintrust Business Lunch with me, Jisoo Yi. As we heard from Orion's report, a lot going on, so let's just go ahead and get down to business. A headline I just read said, coronavirus market freakout, more uncertainty as Italy, South Korea, and Iran try to contain outbreaks. Here for you now is Senior Economic Analyst and Washington Bureau Chief Mark Hamrick, who's with Bankrate.com. Hi, Mark.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so great to have you. Are you going to put us to ease or should we worry? Are you going to be sounding the alarm right now, Mark?
I think today's response in the stock market, first of all, feels fairly rational, even though we know that what tends to guide markets is either one or the other, greed or fear. And, you know, we've been bidding these key averages up to record high levels for quite some time now. So, the outlook has been dampened and muddied and muddled because of the coronavirus outbreak. And when you see it sort of leaping out of Asia into the Middle East and Iran and then to northern Italy, the hopes for containment are dealt something of a blow. And, you know, this is having impacts on real companies. Stocks are connected to real companies, and investors have to ascertain what the price for those stocks ought to be. And, you know, where this goes from here probably depends on where the virus goes from here. But I would say that, you know, we will move beyond this, you know, to the point earlier about Warren Buffett saying if you have a longer time horizon, this will be only a memory. Humanity will move beyond this. But there are reasons for sell-offs, and this is probably as good a reason for a sell-off as any.
So you're saying to keep everything in perspective, and in the long run, things will right themselves out.
Well, sure. And, you know, stock valuations at times are stretched, and at other times they are underpriced. And lately, just from a historical perspective, they've been seen as a little on the rich side. And so when they are a little richer, that means they are at more risk. And, you know, one of the things that I'm probably among a small number of people that I always sort of try to remind people about is, you know, the headlines will always point to the point change, for example, in the Dow Industrials average. You know, the lower thirds on TV, as they're called, will say Dow down 1,000 points. But the Dow has recently been close to 30,000 points. And so it's important to look at these key averages being down more in percentage terms just to keep things in perspective. And we're basically coming off of record high levels. And so there may be some risk for investors in the near term. And if somebody has some money that they really needed to put to work basically in a few months' time, then, you know, that is a different kind of consideration for them, as opposed to, let's say, people who are looking at retirement, not only in terms of, you know, that time horizon when they would retire, but then the many years that they can reasonably expect to live when that money still needs to work for them. And, you know, typically that would be, you know, a number of decades. So it's hard for me to fathom any scenario where this outbreak is something that lasts more than a few months.
Okay, so that was going to be my follow-up question, was just how long you think that this is going to be going on for.
That's as much a question for the epidemiologist as it is right for those of us that watch markets. And, I would just say pay attention, now that we've been given a reminder that the stocks don't always go up, if we need that reminder, to have a conversation either with family members that are in part of the market investing decision, if indeed that is a family-wide conversation, or with the professional that you might be working with, and sort of say, you know, take your own temperature, so to speak. How much risk am I willing to take? And do I have the luxury of time to allow this to ride out? Because, you know, we're now here almost in the month of March, meaning the third month of the year, and the 11th month we'll have the general election, which, you know, probably will bring us the opportunity for more volatility. So whether it's this event or something else, there will always be events that whip markets around. But, you know, Warren Buffett does have a right that, you know, for most of us, we're thinking in terms of 10 or 20 years. And 10 or 20 years out, barring the truly unforeseen, stocks are the place to be for long-term investing.
Well, Mark, did you know that Warren Buffett finally traded his flip phone in for an iPhone?
I heard all about that, and, you know, what I also thought was amusing was that he basically said that what he'd been given several, as if he couldn't afford one, of course, and now he's finally using it, although it doesn't sound like he'll be tweeting or making dining reservations on the phone. He basically said he's using it, you know, as a telephone.
Well, thank you so much, Mark Hamrick. He's a senior economic analyst and also the Washington Bureau Chief for Bankrate.com for putting everything into perspective. We'll be checking back in with you soon.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you.
G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hope you're having a fantastic Monday. Joining the show now is Associate Editor at Chicago Inno, Catherine Davis. Welcome, Catherine.
Hey, G.
So good to have you in studio hearing good news that Chicago is a hotbed for successful marketplace startups.
That's right. So last week, a new report came out from the well-known venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz, based out in San Francisco, have invested in a ton of really fast-growing companies. And the report said that, you know, Chicago is kind of the home for really fast-growing and successful marketplace startups. So if you're wondering, what does that mean? What's a marketplace startup?
I was hoping you would explain. Thank you.
Think something like Groupon or Grubhub. They're not really startups anymore because they are public now. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that they, you know, create a platform where consumers can go and find an array of things. So in Groupon's case, it's coupons. In Grubhub's case, it's restaurants that deliver food. But it's basically connecting businesses with consumers.
The one that everyone loves to talk about is the one called Cameo, and you've talked about it before on this show.
Yeah.
But that's a startup. And it's super cool.
Yeah, Cameo, I think about 2 or 3 years old now, raised like a giant round of $50 million last year. But, you know, they have a marketplace platform for getting celebrity shout outs. So you can go onto their app and say, hey, like, I want, you know, to wish my friend a happy birthday with a message from Lance Bass. And Cameo allows you to buy that.
I think it would be perfect if your friend was turning 50 and then you could get 50 Cent to do this shout out.
That would be perfect, right? Yeah.
Okay, so Chicago is a great place for these marketplace startups, and that's really good for us because it means that maybe more people will think about coming here to try their hand at a startup.
That's right. I mean, you know, whenever Chicago ranks really well on these kind of national lists, it just heightens the city's reputation as a tech hub and a place where innovation can thrive, because I think oftentimes people think that innovation only happens in New York City or in the Bay Area, but, you know, this is proof that it happens here in Chicago as well.
Well, that's awesome. A startup that I just talked about with John Williams to tease what was coming up in the show today is going to be a competitor to ClassPass. And I know a lot of people use ClassPass, but in case you don't use ClassPass, it's a great way of paying a flat fee, and then you get to try different types of fitness workouts, whether that's a yoga class or one of these Orange
like
Theory classes
or
a bar class, because it seems all studios, workout studios, are focusing on one particular type of workout. And then that way you don't have to have 10 different memberships. And that's what ClassPass does. But of course, that's not local. You're saying there's now like a local competitor to this type of bundling.
Exactly. Yeah. So ClassPass is based out in New York, and I was a really long time ClassPass user. I got on it when it like first launched in Chicago, and it was like the best deal around.
How long ago was that?
So when I got on, it was like 2016. I think it had launched that year or the year before. So 2015 or 2016 is when ClassPass came to Chicago.
And it was listed, I remember, as we were turning, you know, into the new year, into 2020, everyone was saying it was one of the best subscription services of the decade.
Yeah.
That's how popular it is.
I mean, ClassPass was really great for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my personal gripe with it is that they ended their unlimited model.
Oh,
and that really changed things for me, because I'm the kind of person that's trying to go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week.
Wait, what does that mean, the unlimited model? Explain
so,
that.
Like, they had a flat rate where you could go to studios as many times as you wanted in a single billing cycle.
I've never known it to be that. I've only known that you can go 3 times to this yoga class, 3 times to this whatever.
Yeah, but it used to be unlimited, and it was great. And so that's kind of the edge that My Strong Circle has, which is this new Chicago startup, similar to ClassPass in many ways, but they give unlimited access to up to 3 studios of your choosing that they work with. forth, of course. So, you know, a little different because now instead of going to maybe 7 studios throughout the month on ClassPass, you can choose 3 with My Strong Circle and really, you know, kind of get ingrained in the culture there and get to know people and the instructors and the other people that, that are attending classes.
So the new Chicago fitness startup is called My Strong Circle. And tell me a little bit about the founder. Is she, she's local, obviously.
Yeah. Her name is Borislava Baeva. She has a background in finance and corporate finance. And, you know, she was a longtime ClassPass user as well. And she was like, you know, I kind of started seeing these issues with it. Like, I wanted to go more often than they were allowing me to. I was feeling disconnected from some of the studios I was going to. And so I said, hey, why don't I launch my own startup around, you know, a fitness membership model?
I love that. I love that when you're using a product or a service and then you see some gaps in where it could be better, and that creates innovation. And I love that she decided, hey, I'm going to change this.
Exactly.
And obviously she's going to start out here, but she's going to want to expand.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, she just launched this last week, and some of the studios that she's already partnering with in Chicago include Sweat in the Gold Coast. I don't know if you've been there, but it's an intense workout.
No,
so
it sounds really sweaty.
Yeah. Barefeet Power Yoga in the West Loop, and then some others. So she's off to a good start bootstrapping so far, and so excited to see who else they onboard.
So, and you said the prices, do you know the price range? Or?
Yeah, so, you know, they allow you to choose which studios you want to go to, so it varies depending on which you choose, but do have some preset bundles that are ranging from $145 to about $300 a month, but that depends on, you know, the studio, how big it is, what you get out of the membership.
Okay, so this local fitness startup, it's called My Strong Circle. They want to challenge ClassPass, so if you're into sort of the unlimited classes, that's why you want to take a look at My Strong Circle.
That's right.
Awesome. So from working out to one of my other favorite activities, because I don't enjoy working out, but drinking. There's a some developments with a craft liquor startup.
That's right. So they're actually based out in Lincolnwood, so a kind of a Chicago suburban startup, but they were called Big Fish Spirits. They launched last year, and they were aiming to be kind of the one-stop shop for ordering craft spirits, but last week they rebranded, and they're now going by Spirit Hub. When I was talking to the CEO, you know, he was telling me, like, our original name, Big Fish Spirits, wasn't really conveying what we did. A lot of customers were confused by
that. Yeah, I would think they would be a fishmonger or something.
Right, exactly. So he was like, Spirit Hub was the way to go.
Well, that is, I guess maybe they were thinking of, like, drinking like a fish, maybe? Maybe that's
maybe
what they were thinking about with
maybe
a Big Fish name. But no, I think this works a lot better. And I'm really intrigued because I've done a lot of coverage for local restaurants in the city and in the burbs as well. And so I know a lot of people in the industry, and boy, they take their craft very seriously. And it's difficult to find some of these rarer types of spirits. And it sounds like they're going to really be carrying a lot of independent distilleries and smaller sort of craft spirits that are harder to find.
That's right. So, you know, they have hundreds of options of like whiskey, gin, bourbon, tequila, really any liquor that you're looking for. And, you know, they really are, like you said, going after that niche customer that, you know, is kind of over what they're getting at their grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to buy, you know, Grey Goose anymore.
Yes,
they
nothing
want
wrong with Grey Goose, but
but they want to try something new. And so Big Spirit Hub is really helping with that. And it's also specializes in delivery, so you can expect to get it to your home within 2 days.
Speaking with Catherine Davis, she's the associate editor at Chicago Inno. Finally, there's another meal delivery startup, which surprises me, Catherine, because I feel like there's so many out there. How is this local company going to figure out a market for this?
Yeah, well, you know, so they are called Cooked, and they specialize in creating chef-crafted meals. The founders are chefs, and they come in...
Oh, that helps.
Yeah, right. And they come in oven and microwave-safe containers, so the idea is that it's really easy, as opposed to maybe Blue Apron or something, where you're getting the ingredients and have to create and cook the meal yourself. Cook specializes in ready to eat, you know, ready to warm up and eat meals.
Good, because I don't even want to have to open the little packets and chop anything.
Yeah,
you know,
because time for it.
It says 30 minutes, but those meals always took me an hour to cook.
Yeah, but you know, they were in the headlines last week because they were actually just acquired by a Milwaukee company called Doman. So a nice little exit for this company.
Well, fantastic. So it's healthy food, and it sounds as though they also have figured out a way to deliver the meals super fresh and get it everywhere across the country.
Yeah, they say that they're delivering to 28 states. They're shipping twice a week, including Illinois. It's just kind of interesting to see the demand for this kind of stuff. Like, are people not going to the grocery store and buying, you know, what's on their list to make a great meal anymore? They really are kind of getting dependent on these kind of startups.
I mean, you would have never imagined this, you know, even a decade ago,
right.
2 decades ago. I mean, my mother would never have, my goodness, she scoffs at my cut up fruit that I buy cut up fruit at the grocery store because she's saying, you're paying $3 extra for them to cut up the fruit. Just take the fruit home and cut it up
right.
yourself. So, but it really, it's about time is money, and there's a convenience factor here, and then also a health factor, too.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a convenience factor. You know, I've long said that I think these meal preparation kits are really good for people that are learning to cook, because, it, you know, it's simple, it
True.
Gives you all the directions, and, you know, you can put it together by yourself. So I think it's a great thing for learning as well.
Well, we appreciate you being in studio with us, because we always learn when you're here. Catherine Davis, Associate Editor at Chicago Inno. A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here for you now is Elise Glink. She is a real estate and personal finance expert. Her website is thinkglink.com, and she is the CEO of Best Money Moves. Hi, Elise.
Hey, G. Nice to be here.
I hear that today is very important. It is the beginning of America Saves Week.
Right. This is one of those things that you would almost think it's a Hallmark holiday, but instead, the Consumer Federation of America came up with this a number of years ago to focus on the lack of savings that Americans do. We really don't save as much as we should. And so they started this America Saves Week. You can go to americasaves.org and see the more than 1,200 companies that have partnered with the Consumer Federation of America to do America Saves Week, including Best Money Moves.
Saving in America is a real problem in the sense that not enough people are doing it.
They really aren't. We would love to see people save a little bit more. You know, when you've got more than half of Americans living paycheck to paycheck, you gotta start somewhere. Build an emergency fund, put away some money for future college tuitions. Hey, just, get your bills paid on time.
What are some easy ways we can save? Because it sounds easy.
It isn't. And I get that. But one of the things you might want to do is literally not even let the cash hit your pocket, right? So almost every single employer in America has a way for you to divert a portion of your paycheck each month, whether it's 25 or 50 bucks a month, right into a separate savings account. It's a great place to start because, of course, you're not going to see it hit your pocket. And then also, if you're not taking advantage of your 401k and any match, well, you're just leaving money on the table.
What about budgeting with cash and envelopes? Do you recommend that?
You know, I think that's kind of messy. A lot of people do it. Money can go missing, strangely. I would rather see you figure out a different way to do it. But if you need to feel the tangible cash, and I get that, try it.
Should you be thinking big or thinking small when you're saving?
Well, I want you to set up some goals that are short-term and realistic and long-term and require some dedication to get there. And I don't mind if you reward yourself occasionally so that you can actually, feel good about what you're doing and feel like you're achieving goals, because behavioral economics shows us that when we feel like we're achieving our goals, we're much more likely to stick to them. And with savings, that's true as well. But what I don't want you to do is save, let's say, $600 a year and spend $1,200 to reward yourself. Defeats the purpose.
Do you recommend any apps that help you save, like saving the leftover change, like rounding up?
Right. So those apps that, like, you go to Starbucks and then you save the change, like, please don't do that, because you're spending $4, $5, or $6 to save 32 cents. I would rather you just save the $6, and the 32 cents comes along as part and parcel of it. So I think those are more gimmicky than anything else, but hey, if that's what it takes, sure, go ahead and do it. I would much rather see you take 25 bucks a week out of your paycheck and stick that in an account somewhere that it's really hard to touch.
How much money should you have in your emergency fund?
Well, you really ought to have somewhere between 3 and 6 months of the expenses that you can't do without, right? Your rent or mortgage, if you have a car payment, your health insurance, right? Those are the things that you've got to be able to tap fast for cash. And usually it's 3 to 6 months worth, because even in a hot economy like we have now, where there are lots of jobs available, so you could get something, it might still take a month or two to get it.
I saw this recent story that so many Americans are living paycheck to paycheck, and this included folks that made over $100,000.
Oh, yeah. At least 10% of all people who earn six figures a year are living paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, this is going to sound crazy, but in 90 or 91, so like 30 years ago almost, I wrote a cover story for Chicago Magazine called something like Feeling Poor on $100,000 a Year. And that was 30 years ago. So now, 30 years later, we've had inflation, and it's two working parents, and they've got all sorts of extra expenses that have come into play, and people can easily find themselves broke, even though they're earning what sounds to be a fabulous amount of money.
So you said you wrote that article decades ago.
Decades. I know, that just aged me on radio, something you never really want to do.
You don't look like that's possible, but do you think it's harder to save for our current generation than it was for our parents or grandparents?
The research is showing, actually, the Gen Z, which is the new generation coming out of college right now, they're all like 21, 22, look to be better savers than the older millennials, and even younger millennials. I divide millennials, like so many people do, into kind of younger and older sex. But the Gen Zs look to be very focused on saving, and that has to do with what happened 10 years ago in the Great Recession. And they saw their families so broke and really needing to dip into, you know, and cash out 401ks and retirement and all that. I mean, we're going to start seeing baby boomers who are in real trouble when it comes to retiring.
Elise, on your website, you started a Credit 101 series, and you're in your third week.
We are. ThinkLink.com, we've got a Credit 101 series sponsored by Equifax. We're answering common questions that people have about credit. And you would think that people really understand this, but people don't. And even people who I thought understood it, a gentleman in his 60s, very well-to-do, and, you know, the family only pays their bills every other month. And I'm like, well, what's that doing to your credit? And he's like, I don't know. And he pulls up his credit score and he's like, I don't know. Is this a good number? And it was like in the low 700s. And I'm like, well, could be better. But they have plenty of money. They just didn't think about the fact that when you don't pay your bills on time every single month, there's a little bit of a ding that goes into it. And so that's what had been happening to him. So this week on our credit series, which you can find the whole series at thinklink.com, we talk about what goes into calculating that credit score. And I think a lot of people don't realize that it's not just your payment history, but the total amount that you owe versus your available credit, types of accounts that you have, the total number of accounts, and the length of your credit history. And we could explain all of that online.
And I was surprised to learn, too, that there are different types of credit scores, different companies scoring you.
Yes, we all have multiple credit scores. So the idea that we just have this one number somewhere isn't really true. If you look on your credit card account, it might be one score. If you go get a loan from a mortgage lender, it would be a different score. If you look on MyFICO, it might be a third score. Equifax has a different one. They all do. And so this idea, and they all collect different information. So the reason the scores are different is the information is different. The way they calculate is a little different. We go deep into all of that at the ThinkLink.com Credit 101 series.
ThinkLink.com.
Thanks, G.
A lot more coming up on WGN Radio. G here with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Hope you're having a wonderful Monday. Joining me now in studio is WGN Radio's very own Amy Guth. We're going to talk about some trending business stories. Hi, Amy.
Hello. How are you? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. Of course, it's been a very volatile day in the markets, and we've heard a lot about coronavirus and its effect on the production lines for Apple. Of course, that's affected Apple's projections and its stock as well. But I wanted to mention a couple of consumer items that maybe don't come to mind necessarily when you're thinking about the supply chain that's coming from China. What if you were getting married and currently your bridal gown or your bridesmaids' dresses were stuck in China? Also, dresses for high school proms. Out of 45 of companies in China factories that are making these, you know, have huge businesses.
Special occasion attire.
Right, exactly. They're shut down. They're waiting to be inspected. They're waiting to be disinfected. So there are a lot of bridal boutiques and shops that don't have the supply of dresses that they need right now.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's interesting the different areas of industry that, all of this is impacting. You know, there's, ABC 7 had talked to a bridal shop owner who essentially there are wedding dresses sitting waiting to be shipped that should go out next month that are not going to leave till June, and that's going to be too late for some weddings. That would be such a frustrating feeling, like, well, there's nothing you can do. You can't get mad because that's, you know, what has to happen. But yeah, this is when you probably need to enlist the help of a friendly seamstress that you know or something like that to get out of that jam, or just go with something off the rack, because you're not, and that's the thing. So much special occasion attire is made, you know, it's ordered online. Prom dresses, like, the reason you can order them inexpensively is because they're, you know, from factories overseas, and a lot of things are made in China. I think it's really interesting to track all this. Of course, I've been watching very carefully how this impacts the airline industry, because as you and I have talked about many times, Boeing has already really set the airline industry up to have a very unusual year just by virtue of the 737 MAX models not being delivered and hits that keep coming to Boeing, how that's played out with different carriers. Here, you know, United is one of the biggest U.S. carriers to Asia. At this point, they had already predicted that most of their Olympics travel to Japan would be booked. And that is not happening. So, you know, it'll just be interesting to watch how the year plays out for airlines and then other stuff, like down to wedding dresses. It's going to a lot of places.
Something even more unique that you may not have thought of is hair extensions.
I've never used any extension. I know nothing about hair
extensions. There's a lot of women that do. You know, men also have toupees as well. But a lot of the hair that's used for wigs and extensions, that originates in China. A lot of them are then dyed.
That's so interesting. See, you never know, like, all the places of industry where this issue is kind of setting up.
So there's going to be prices on hair extensions and wigs are going to go up because of the supply chain issue. And even if the hair products come from other areas in Asia, like Vietnam, Cambodia, their production is also slowed because they rely on China for supplies to put extensions and wigs together. So there you go. Another product that you probably never even thought of affect your everyday life. There are a lot of women that use extensions. So.
Sure. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I probably should. I don't know. I never have.
Hey,
I should.
Are you a Costco member?
Okay, funny that you bring that up, because I was for a very long time. Then I was like, it's just me. I don't have, like, a lot of storage. I don't need to do this. But then every once in a while, you're like, you know what? It makes more sense. And especially, like, if you're going to throw an event, which I put together a lot of events, I'm like, oh, this would be so much easier to do at Costco.
Well, if you are a Costco member, you know that one of the things people love to buy at the food market is the slice of pizza and the hot dog.
I would say the hot dog has, like, a cult following.
Both really tasty. They also have a churro. It's $1.50. So affordable. So tasty. I didn't realize this, but this was a trending business story, that now a Costco membership is going to be required in order to make a food court purchase. So if you're listening right now, text or call 312-981-7200.
Oh, no $1.50 hot dog for you unless you have the card?
Right.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't even know that people without memberships, would they just drive to a Costco to pop into the food court and get the pizza?
It is a cult following. I mean,
really?
If you look it up online, there are people that have written, there are blog posts about this hot dog. People are so bananas for this hot dog. Also, in some states, I need to check in particular about Illinois. This was a national story that I read about a little bit ago, that you can go to some Costcos and not be a member if you buy alcohol, because there's something about the way the liquor laws are worded. You can't give access to some, but not all. So I didn't know we were going to be talking about Costco. Otherwise, I would have looked that up and had that info for you. But so in some states, you can just walk in and say, nope, I'm just here to buy booze.
Well, you know, so many families shop at Costco and Sam's Club, and that's where they stock up on all of their supplies and make sure they have everything. But I just had no idea that people were going to Costco without a membership and just getting the pizza and the hot dog. So I think that's pretty fascinating.
I mean, people have Costco things. Also, apparently Costco bacon has a cult following. People write about it.
Costco chickens, you know, they had to build the roast chicken has such a cult
following. Oh, that's right, the rotisserie little.
Costco had to create their own supply chain of the chickens because they needed them a certain weight and size in order to keep it affordable for families to buy a simple, you know, pick up a simple roast chicken and have that for dinner. So I think that's pretty interesting too.
Yeah. So like I said, I had a Costco membership. Then I was like, do I really need 700 rolls of toilet paper? Probably not.
The question, Amy, is now, are you going to get one?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't decided.
I'm hoping that your desire to have a hot dog or pizza has pushed you over the edge.
Now I have to other factors to reconsider.
Yes, absolutely. All right. You have anything else going on today?
Well, you know, all kinds of things. One thing, this was a story that kind of emerged last week about Peapod that I thought was interesting. So
yes.
Peapod is leaving the Chicago market, and suddenly you have grocery delivery companies there's 50,000 users, so they're going to have to make up for that
right.
somewhere. It seems like Whole Foods is really well positioned, just that Amazon partnership to take up a lot of that market share. Mariano's uses Instacart. They're pretty well positioned, although they have a smaller market
Walmart
share.
Walmart delivers too, don't they? I think they do. And I know that Target, you can
Walmart
go by.
Walmart does everything.
Yeah, I think at Target, they'll put your order together and then
and they can kind of curbside. Right. I think some Targets will deliver. Of course, through certain apps, you can have anything delivered that you want. Jewel, though, had invested a while ago. The Jewels had invested in their own infrastructure for delivery. So they stand to have a pretty big profit margin if they can get that big market share. So we're talking about 50,000 customers, about 10,000 customers a week use Peapod because they've been around so long. They've been in our market a long time. So what I predict we're going to see in the weeks ahead, because we're coming up on this deadline of Peapod exiting the market, is we're going to see some very aggressive advertising, probably
right.
a lot of deals for delivery, things like that.
It sounds like a lot of Peapod customers didn't realize the other delivery options that are available to them. Hopefully they won't, you know, lose out on that. Because there are a lot of people that are homebound that just can't get
right.
their groceries, and they're used to doing things a certain way. By the way, the 847 texted in, the high school kids by us go to Costco for lunch, and they don't need a membership. So there you go.
There you go.
WGN Radio's Amy Guth, thanks so much for being with us. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.